Well, hello there, boys and girls, and everybody else in Radio Land. Thank you for listening to The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam Lepp here with Mid-Morning Coffee Break and the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Hopefully it's not too snowy where you are, but that's okay. Put the shovel down for the next 45 minutes. We're going to talk about life, about some humorous, anecdotal news stories. Maybe some controversial stuff like the mask debate. That's always a fun one when I am a participant. Maybe we'll talk about music and sports and who knows what else. The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, has great talk, news, information, and of course humor 24 hours a day. In fact, really the only station in Marion that provides this kind of awesome content. So be sure to listen. Bookmark the website, WWGH1071.com. Download the TuneIn app if you're a smartphone user like myself, and you can listen anytime on demand, anywhere in the great universe, well, at least on planet Earth, with an internet connection. Joining me in the studio today is someone who is on with me from time to time. He is a alumnus of the very famous Morning Zoo program at W Nationwide Communications Incorporated. Well, it's not owned by Nationwide anymore, but that's what it stands for, WNCI 97.9 FM in the great capital city of Columbus. And, of course, that would be the one and only, slightly infamous, always humorous, always interesting, and occasionally annoying, Patrick Maruniak. So, Patrick, how are you on this fine day in Radio Land?
I'm good. Hello, everyone, and hello, Adam.
Good to have you back at our microphones.
Thank you.
Broadcasting from the official Adam Studios here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Now, for those who may not have previously heard you on the air with me or others, and I'm not sure why anybody would not have heard of you, because you're really kind of a celebrity in these parts, but maybe some people have been living in a cave for the last 20 years. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you were born, your early life, and how you got into radio at WNCI and kind of ended up as an occasional microphone user here at The Talking Place.
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. I moved to Columbus in the end of May of 85. And then I started getting in the radio, I think, in 2001. I was on WNCI from 2001 to 2013. And they just hired me off the street. I mean, I would go to their bar appearances and just talk to them. And I guess they found something they liked about me, so they invited me to be on the show. And then one time turned into more than one time. Then he just eventually hired me.
So that's kind of fun, being hired by one of the big and top FM radio stations in the country. And, of course, in your travels with WNCI and just as a private citizen, you have met many celebrities and talked to many celebrities over the phone. When we got together on the microphone a couple months ago, you mentioned that of all the people you talked to on the phone when you were at WNCI, Kelly Clarkson might be your favorite.
Yes.
And remind us again, what did you like about Kelly? She was just down to earth, like you were talking to an old friend. Or
right.
What kind of impressed you with her?
Like you said, she was very down to earth and very nice. We even sang a part of a song on the air. While I was talking to her on the air, we were singing Hey Ya by Outkast. None of us could sing it very good.
But I'm sure she could belt that out pretty well. You mentioned you talked to, Snoop Doggy Dogg, or it was a rapper?
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy. I confuse these rappers sometimes. They all have these same weird names, and, you know, I'm not a big rap fan anyway, so I apologize to any rap fans. So, yeah, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Combs. He's got so many names, but it's the same guy.
Right.
And you said he was okay. He was cordial, just didn't seem like he was as into talking to you like Kelly Clarkson was.
No, he wasn't.
Do you think maybe he had to go to the bathroom, or he just didn't like you? Or
I guess I'm not sure.
You never really know with these people. So other than Kelly Clarkson, are the people you talked to on the phone at WNCI, anybody else that made a good impression? Was there a male that made a good impression? You know, let's just kind of do a male and a female who are both especially nice.
This guy named, I don't know if you heard him, he was a one-hit wonder. He had a song called Bad Day. His name was Daniel Powder.
Oh, yeah, I had a bad day.
Yeah.
I always confused him with the exercise guru, Susan Powder. Maybe you've heard of her, but he's a different guy. Yeah. She was bald, right? She was an exercise lady. You know, me being the gym goer that I am. I don't think Daniel and Susan are related. So,
no.
Yeah, but that was a big hit. You Had a Bad Day, and kind of a good song. I actually like that song. I don't like a lot of current music, so that does say a lot. So when you talked to Daniel Powder, he was pretty cool?
Yes, he was very cool.
Did you sing a song with him or just talk about life?
I think I sang a few lines of it, of Bad Day, and that was it.
Okay.
I didn't remember the whole song.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'm sure Daniel did, because he probably sings it in concert or in the shower. You're talking, you're listening to Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, along with my special guest co-host and microphone mate, partner in crime, brother in broadcasting, Patrick Maruniak, a native of Cleveland, which probably has even more snow than we have right now, and a former member of the famous WNCI Morning Zoo in the great capital city of Columbus, talking a little bit about his experiences there. Then we'll talk about politics and who knows what else we can come up with. Discussing first a favorite topic of mine and something that Patrick is always willing to discuss, and that would be his assorted meetings over the phone and in person with celebrities and other people who are much more famous, much richer, and much more important than I am. Now, in person, Patrick, more as a private citizen, you've met many people.
Yep.
Rumor has it that you and John Schneider, I think he was Bo Duke, on the Dukes of Hazzard. He also did a great rendition of It's Now or Never, an Elvis song. So he sings, he acts, and does other assorted fun stuff. You've met him so many times that he kind of recognizes you when you see him. You went to, his 60th birthday party in Louisiana a few months ago. So he's kind of like one of your BFFs. He's really, he knows you pretty well. Do you think he would consider you to be a BFF, or does he think of you more as just a stalker or a groupie? Which do you think John Schneider would classify you as?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Hopefully it's a BFF.
Okay, so a bit of a BFF, maybe a bit of
maybe
a groupie,
not a stalker.
But not a stalker. But celebrities do have these stalkers. So you've met a controversial celebrity, controversial because of his politics, Kirk Cameron, who was one of the Seaver children on Growing Pains. Never used to watch that show, but it certainly was well received. As you know, Patrick, Kirk Cameron, like many celebrities, Ted Nugent comes to mind, has become more known for his politics than what he does on the stage or on the screen. So when you met Kirk Cameron, did he seem like someone who was controversial politically, or was he just a regular guy? Or I think you recall saying he was really cool in person. So what kind of impression did he give you?
I didn't think he seemed like he was too political or anything. He's really religious now, but yeah.
But you've heard about the controversy that he's definitely conservative and he's quite religious and rather vocal about it. So you kind of wonder, does the celebrity's political stance and stands on things that could be controversial like religion, does that affect how people think about them? We mentioned Ted Nugent. I imagine you're a fan of his music like I am. We listened to him a lot in college.
Yes.
Great hard rocker, excellent lyrics. Some of his lyrics are not something you would play in front of your young child, but
right.
That's part of the fun. But no secret to the fact he's definitely a conservative. He's very in favor of freedom to carry firearms. Makes no secret of it.
Killing animals.
And how do you think his politics have affected people's viewpoint of him? I mean, your politics, like mine, are kind of middle of the road. You're different on some of the issues. Has your opinion of him changed as he's gone from, the Motor City Madman, just a musician, to being more of a political activist? Has that affected your opinion of Ted Nugent and others, even Kirk Cameron, as their political views have kind of overtaken what they do on the stage or on the screen?
No, I still like both of them. The only thing I don't really care for about Ted Nugent is his way about when he likes to kill animals for sport. I'm not really big on that, but other than that.
Yeah, he's definitely in favor of the right to carry firearms, which I as an American, I am. I'm kind of mixed on some of the opinions, and I do eat meat. I don't hunt, but I admire people who do. I think it's something that is done in this country, and it's a hobby as well as something you can do to have food on the table. But again, it's a controversial area, and I'm not here really to say if it's wrong or right. I think we do agree that Nugent is a good musician, but would you agree with me, Patrick, that if maybe he kept his mouth shut a little bit and wasn't so vocal about his opinions but still had them, he might be a little more popular? He wouldn't maybe get the boycotts that some people have. You know, people saying, well, I used to like Ted Nugent, but because of his viewpoints, I don't want to listen to his music anymore. Or a radio station might say, I don't want to play his music because he's just too controversial. You know, someone who's worked at music radio, WNCI being a top 40 station, Ted Nugent, I mean, Cat Scratch Fever is his main top 40 hit, but among rock and roll stations, he's got dozens of songs. Do you think if he kind of kept his mouth shut a little bit, he might have enjoyed and be enjoying more popularity? Or is it maybe a case where he doesn't really care, that he's now considering himself more of a political activist than a musician? Any thoughts on that?
I think he probably would be more popular if he wouldn't, like, cut the political stuff out a little bit.
Yeah, we would definitely agree. Sometimes these celebrities need to kind of keep their mouth shut and have their opinions, but maybe not so vocal about it. So I guess you're kind of saying with Kirk Cameron, there's no secret about his religion and his conservative political beliefs, but he's more mellow about it, not as vocal and outspoken. And you can still respect that even if you don't agree with him. So maybe, do you think maybe Ted Nugent should take a lesson from Kirk Cameron? Might that be a smart move?
Yes, I think it would be a very smart move.
Okay, so just kind of an aside here, as politics have been such a big issue and continues to be, because we have a different president now than the president we had when we talked last time. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, talking life, politics, and whatever else, with Patrick Maruniak, a good friend of mine, as well as a former member of the WNCI Morning Zoo out of Columbus, and he's on with me and others from time to time. Oh, by the way, Patrick, speaking about the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, last time we talked, it was Donald J. Trump. And at this time, I don't think he's going to be impeached or anything else soon, but you never really know in 2021, we have Joe Biden. So what is your assessment of Joe Biden, and how do you think he compares to the Donald?
I don't know. I think he seems like he's more into this, trying to get like stimulus checks out and stuff like to help people. But I could be wrong, though. But
so you find him somewhat stimulating?
Yeah, kind of.
Don't you like it when I put you on the spot? We didn't really have any topics, but you know, as someone who worked in the morning zoo, you never quite know what the co-hosts are going to talk to you about. So it's not really a big deal, and that's why it's kind of fun. So other than the stimulation, any more impressions of Joe Biden? Any impressions of Kamala Harris versus Mike Pence?
I really don't know, because since he just started his presidency, so I don't know how it's going to be within the next year or two. So I really can't say have an opinion about him yet. Maybe in another year or two, maybe a few months.
So we'll table that until next time. But so the stimulus check certainly is a big topic, and I've been stimulated twice myself, as have most people. Yep. And we'll just find out. We're talking again to Patrick Maruniak, politics and technology, music, and whatever else. And getting back, Patrick, to your days with WNCI, as well as your days as a private citizen, meeting celebrities, you know, Kirk Cameron, John Schneider, you know, discussing the controversial nature of talented musicians like Ted Nugent, who may have affected their likability as musicians by their opening their mouth maybe a few too many times. What do you think was your most interesting experience when you were at WNCI? We had the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame incident, which we've talked about. And anything that kind of strikes your fancy that you want to share with our listeners that was one of the highlights of your career there?
I liked some of the street bits I used to do. Like there was one where I got stuck in a water slide.
You got stuck in a water slide.
Yes.
Now, you've lost quite a bit of weight since those days, I believe. That
yes,
was part
I have.
Of it. And was that Was it, you think, was it kind of cruel because you were a bigger guy that you got stuck? I guess it was all in fun.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
It was, you know, as I say, if you can't laugh at yourself, why laugh at anybody? Because that's the first thing that I laugh at is myself, because I'm a pretty funny guy. And I can be kind of crazy, and I can be kind of weird. So, you know, if you don't laugh at yourself, what are you going to laugh at?
Right.
So I think it's good that we have that. We've had Weasel Boy, of course, on the air. And, of course, being called Weasel Boy, that's kind of a way to make fun of yourself. And you were on the air with him a lot at WNCI.
Yeah,
so.
Me and him actually did skits together, too, sometimes.
So, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself, if you take yourself too seriously, I think you need to pinch yourself a couple times and realize that life is for fun, life is for living, and you need to do that. You go right ahead. I hate to interrupt you because you're so interesting.
Well, in fact, I was just going to say, in fact, Weasel Boy did the water slide bit with me. He watched me go down it, so he was there. He was there on the air with me when we were doing that.
You and Weasel Boy have very different builds. So was the idea to have you go down the water slide because you're the bigger guy?
Yeah,
that would kind of be the idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess that's kind of interesting. Adam here on the Talking Place, talking with Patrick Maruniak, a regular visitor to my show and others, a personal friend of mine, and a alumnus of the WNCI Morning Zoo from the station, again, that used to stand for W Nationwide Communications Incorporated before they ended up being acquired by good old Clear Channel. Well, they're not really that good, but that's okay. We'll play nice. We won't say anything about that.
Well, I think now it's actually iHeartMedia now.
Right, iHeartMedia. Yeah. Good. I was actually testing you, but they were a Clear Channel.
Yeah.
So these ownership changes, you know, you got to keep up with them. But we do know that in downtown Columbus, Nationwide has some pretty cool skyscrapers. Did you work downtown at one of the skyscrapers? Where was the studio when you were doing a lot of your shows?
When I started doing the stuff for them, it was like they were at the Continent, and then they moved down to Fifth Avenue. I don't know if that's considered Grandview over there.
Yeah, just north of Grandview. So they weren't actually downtown. They were different parts of Columbus on the north side.
Yeah, well, then I think before the Continent, though, they were on what's that building? One Nationwide Plaza, I think.
Yeah, right downtown then.
Yeah.
So they do kind of move around. That's kind of the thing about radio. You never really know where a station is broadcasting from. And we've moved our studio a couple times, but the place on the dial is always the same, which kind of makes things interesting. Adam here with Patrick Maruniak on The Talking Place on Mid-Morning Coffee Break and the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. So one last question about your days at the FM station we talked about in Columbus. We talked about the water slide event, the man in the street, interviews, celebrities you talked to on the phone that were very nice or maybe not so nice. Anybody else you talked to? You talked about Daniel Powder and Kelly Clarkson. Anybody else you talked to that just made an impression on you who was maybe even surprisingly nicer than you thought?
I didn't talk to him on the phone, but he came to the studio. I met him. Rob Thomas was extremely nice. I met him like 3 or 4 times.
Rob Thomas came to the studio. Well, he has like one of the biggest hits of all time, Smooth, with Santana. Mm-hmm. So he's, and of course, Matchbox 20 and On His Own. So big celebrity with a good voice. So he came to the studio.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Does he just like go up the stairs and just come in like a regular person? Does he have his bodyguards or does he come in a big stretch limo? How does he arrive at the studio?
I think he just came in with his, I guess with the guy from the record company, I guess.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. So they just are regular guys or girls. Nothing too fancy. They just walk up to the studio and say, "Hi, I'm Rob Thomas. How you doing?" So he was really down to earth.
Yeah, and I had to sing one of his songs in front of him, too, and I butchered it, and he still was nice about it.
Well, that's good. Well, I guess he's happy because, you know, he thought maybe if you were a better singer than he was, you could have a number one song for 20 weeks, even smoother. Than Smooth. Did you talk about working with Carlos Santana? I mean, there's someone, Patrick, who is well-respected as a guitar player, who's been around a long time. He's still around. One of the most respected musicians around. Did you talk about him at all? Did you talk about Matchbox 20? What kind of things did you talk about on the air with him?
Well, I didn't talk to him on the air. It was Dave and Jimmy that interviewed him mostly. I just like met him, but
okay. But Dave and Jimmy were interviewing him, but it was part of the show that you were on.
Yeah, I think they talked about Carl Santana, about Smooth. I can't remember what happened in the interview, but
it was cool just to meet the guy.
Yes.
And were you kind of surprised that he was down to earth? Were you expecting somebody stuck up with about six bodyguards? What were you expecting out of Rob Thomas?
I was kind of nervous when I had to sing his song in front of him, because I thought, oh my gosh, he's gonna hate me when I do that.
So you were singing in front of the hundreds of thousands of people that were listening, in front of this big celebrity with this enormous hit song.
And it was a hard song to sing, too. It was a Matchbox 20 song.
Yeah, 3 a.m., or that's one
no,
of those
it was,
songs.
Let's See How Far We Come.
Oh, well, how far did you come on that song? Okay, well, kind of how it is when famous celebrities visit the studio. Anybody else super famous with a big number one hit song that visited the studio?
There's a lot of people. Let's see who else.
We've had famous people in this studio, you know, Ted Williams, a Golden Voice, Lulu from Hee Haw, Karen Knotts, Don Knotts' daughter. So we've had famous people. We have certainly a few that come to visit us, but not Rob Thomas. He's never visited the station as far as I know. Even Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, I don't believe has talked to Rob Thomas. But anybody else, though, who made an impression?
I think they had Ricky Martin come in once.
Ricky Martin, La Vida Loca. So what was he like?
He was nice.
So Ricky Martin was nice.
Enrique Iglesias.
Enrique Iglesias. He was okay?
Yeah, no, he was nice too.
That's good. So anybody who wasn't nice?
Yeah, there was one. It wasn't at the station. I interviewed him at, it was the NKOTBSB tour. New Kids in the Block were nice. All of them except for one of them, Danny Wood.
Except for one of them. So what was the issue with Danny Wood?
I interviewed him. I was trying to joke with him. He had no sense of humor at all. It seemed like to me he was in it for the paycheck instead of actually in it for the fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like they say about athletes. You got to love what you're doing. I mean, Tom Brady's got to love what he's doing. Otherwise, he would have retired 5 years ago. You know, he's 43 and still going strong. He doesn't need the money. And that's how it is with musicians. I would think Iglesias, you know, with his bloodline, his father being Julio, I'm sure he's got enough money to pay the bills. If he doesn't love what he's doing, he might as well find a new job. And it's a shame that a boy band member, someone who depends upon his fellow band members to sing and perform, just isn't really into it. And it's kind of a shame. So bottom line is, most of the people that you talked to in your days there were nice, some surprisingly nice, and some even really cool, the way Rob Thomas and you joked about singing his song. So I guess you never really know. And when we've talked to famous people at our studio, they've always been really cool. Karen Knotts was great. You know, I'm a big fan of her husband, the late Don Knotts, husband or father.
I met her a couple times.
Her father. Nice. Her father, yeah. So it's good to meet these people and kind of take a look back at what you remember about their career or people that they're related to. Are you a Julio Iglesias fan, or do you like his kids better in terms of their music?
I haven't heard too many Julio Iglesias songs.
To All the Girls I Loved Before with Willie Nelson, that one comes to mind.
Yeah.
I remember that one, right?
Yeah. But his son, I like his son's music a lot.
Yeah, very, very talented. Not sure about Ricky Martin. I mean, he's had multiple hits, but I think he's a bit overhyped. But he was cool when you met him.
Yeah, he was. I like some of his music.
I don't think the celebrities mind if you tell them I'm not really a big fan. I mean, they know not everybody's going to think that they're great. Like, you know, I never watched Growing Pains, but Kirk Cameron has staying power. And it's good that he's a nice guy, that he can interact with all people, even if you don't agree with his viewpoint on things. And that's important. And as someone in broadcasting, you want to meet these people and let your listeners hear them and hear what they have to say, and it enriches your life, for sure. Adam here, talking to Patrick Maruniak about his experiences at WNCI and about life in general, here on The Talking Place. Let's go to Florida, where it's probably a lot warmer than it is here, and certainly not as snowy. A cyber intruder broke into the computer network of the water treatment system of a Florida city and attempted to poison it with lye, which is sodium hydroxide. And I was a chem major, so know that kind of stuff. News of the attack was recently made public by officials of Oldsmar, who revealed the attack was foiled by an operator at the facility within minutes of its launch. That's the Oldsmar Water Treatment Plant in Florida. After getting access to the city's water system through software used by employees for remote network access, the intruder increased the levels of sodium hydroxide in the system from 100 parts per million to 11,000 parts per million. Sodium hydroxide, or lye, is the main ingredient in liquid drain cleaners. In the water system, it's used in small amounts to control the acidity of the city's drinking water. This Oldsmar plant provides water to 15,000 residents and as well as businesses. The county sheriff, Bob Gualtieri, said, because the operator noticed the increase and lowered it right away, at no time was there a significant adverse effect on the water being treated. Importantly, the public was never in danger. Mayor Eric Seidel added that the good news is that the monitoring protocols the city water department have in place work. Even had they not caught them, there are redundancies that have alarms in our system that would have caught the change in pH level anyhow. So it's good that they caught these people and stopped this, because it could have been rather disastrous otherwise. Patrick, do you think, kind of as I do, that sometimes these computers can just be a little too powerful, and with a couple wrong keystrokes or mouse clicks, even accidentally, you can end up changing something and causing a potential problem? Is that maybe an issue? We need to just watch the power of these computers?
Yes, I think that they should fix them where they're not so sensitive. Sometimes you can actually hit a button, one wrong button, and it'll mess up or something.
And certainly security is pretty important as someone in the computer tech business, and security being an issue that I'm always helping people with. Keep the hackers away, especially when it comes to the water supply, because that's one thing we rely upon as a city service. WWGH Radio, the talking place. We talked about the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, one of the other managers here at the station. In fact, he's kind of the main manager. Anyway, he is on every morning between about 13 minutes after 8 and 10, talking to important local people, perhaps the mayor of Marion, Mr. Scott Schertzer, people like Ed Asner, Phil Donahue, Estelle Parsons, and other famous and funny people who are much more important and much more famous and much richer than I am. Of course, that really isn't hard. And sometimes he just takes your phone calls and we talk about life or politics. Sometimes he plays Family Feud. And from time to time, even I call in. The lovely Linda Sims is on Monday and Tuesday afternoon. Mike Wilson has all kinds of interesting factoids about the Mid-Ohio area at about 14 minutes after 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday. Nate Redmond on Wednesday afternoon. And Scott and Glenn are on mid-mornings between about 10:13 a.m. and noon every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Great programming for you. And if you ever miss a program, just go to our website at WWGH1071.com. to listen to and or download the programs of your choice. A pair of former classmates in Indiana who reconnected decades later on, you guessed it, Patrick, Facebook. The whole world is finding long-lost friends and relatives on Facebook, myself included. I found many of my relatives I hadn't talked to in a while, as well as many friends and former classmates.
Yeah, me too. I found former classmates on Facebook.
On Facebook. So, yeah, this isn't surprising. And that's one nice thing about social media. You can find people so easily. Unless their name is Smith or something, that kind of makes it hard. But, you know, my last name's uncommon. Your last name's even more uncommon than mine, so that makes it pretty easy. Well, what do you think happened with these siblings who connected on Facebook? Well, they are long-lost twins. How about that? Karen Warner said she found out her biological mother's name a few years ago when Indiana unsealed adoption records, and the discovery came with a surprise. She had a twin brother. How about that? Warner said she sought help from various adoption websites to try to find her long-lost brother. She told the TV station, "Everybody kept coming up with nothing because we didn't have a name to go by or anything." She said the big break came when she obtained local voting records with a list of three men who shared her birth date. The third name on the list, Mike Jackman, stood out because he was a high school classmate who she had only recently reconnected with on Facebook. She said Jackman, she sent him a Facebook message saying they might be twin siblings, and the pair had a DNA test performed that confirmed that connection. He said, "It's filled a void in my life I didn't know was there. There was nothing out there. I didn't know what was there, and now it's here. She's here." The siblings said they now talk almost every day and get together several times a week. We are two peas in a pod. So, Patrick, what would you think after all the time you've lived, not as long as I've lived, but you've lived a few years, if you found out that you had a long-lost twin brother or sister? Would that be cool? Would it be kind of surprising? What would be your reaction?
Both. It'd be surprising and cool.
So, surprising and cool at the same time.
Right. Yes.
So, if that were to occur, you never quite know what the reaction might be. But are you kind of with me that one of the best uses of social media, and honestly, I think this is one of the first things that people thought of when they went to use Facebook, is you can connect with exes, because many times you're still friends with an ex but forgot what happened to them. You can connect with long-lost relatives and connect with people you went to school with. I mean, I went to school in Connecticut and in Columbus, and I've connected with students from former classmates from both cities. In fact, one person I went to high school in Connecticut with is living in the east side of Columbus. So sometimes you see that kind of stuff. Is that kind of helped you out, Patrick? Do people ask about you? Are they impressed that you've worked in broadcasting? What kind of has been the reaction when that's occurred?
They were surprised I worked in broadcasting, but they thought it was neat that I did. They liked it. I think sometimes they would ask what station I worked for. I would tell them WNCI. I don't know if they would know what it is because maybe some of the people don't live in Columbus.
Did people by chance think maybe that you were not the radio type? Was that kind of where the surprise came from?
Yeah, I think so. They didn't think of it.
I did do
radio before WNCI. I used to volunteer. At 104.9, but it wasn't the River then. It was called WCVO. It was a Christian station.
So I guess you kind of fooled them that you were the broadcasting type, even if they didn't think that you might have been. So you never really know. If you connect with somebody that you knew as a child, you connect with him or her as an adult, you can very well be surprised as to what came of their life, which I think is, I think that's kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Adam Lepp here. In the studio, talking with Patrick Maruniak about life, about experiences, about interesting news stories, and, of course, from time to time, we also inject politics. And that also adds to the fun. We went to Indiana, to Florida. Now let's go to somewhere kind of between those two places, Tennessee. A Tennessee dog is living the comfortable life after inheriting $5 million from her late owner, who stipulated in his will that his money should go to his pet. Now, you have cats, Patrick, I believe, at your domicile.
My mom has a cat, yeah.
Do you think you would will money to your cat if you passed away? Would you consider doing that?
No.
You would not leave any money to the cat?
No. I leave money to the person to help take care of the cat, because the cat can't spend money. It's an animal.
Okay, well, I guess that makes sense. But I think you would agree that a lot of cats and dogs are smarter than a lot of people. I would certainly trust them more than I would trust a lot of humans. Lulu is an 8-year-old border collie and was named in the will of owner Bill Doris, a Nashville businessman who passed away last year at age 84. Martha Burton, 88 years old, a neighbor who often cared for Lulu while Doris was away, was named as the canine's caretaker in Doris's will, which states Burton will be reimbursed for reasonable monthly expenses. She said, "I don't really know what to think about it, to tell you the truth. He just really loved the dog." And Burton said she is perfectly happy to act as Lulu's caretaker. She's a good girl. So that's nice. $5 million willed to your doggie. That could certainly be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, I heard this in the news this morning, yeah. I was kind of surprised about it.
Oh, you did hear about that. That's good. Well, it's always good to hear news stories and then discuss them on the radio, because that's what we do here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Any other news stories you've heard, Patrick, that you would like to share with us and offer commentary on?
No, I can't think of anything right now.
Not quite yet. Well, that's okay.
Oh, I think I do have something.
Oh, great. Well, good. Go ahead and share that with us, because you are always a purveyor of interesting factoids and quirky news.
I was going to ask you what you think about the curfew being lifted.
I think it's fantastic. I think the governor should keep his rear end out of private businesses who are already licensed to be open until 2:30. That is bars, either 2:30 or 1, depending upon their license. And the casinos should be open 24/7. And we are grown-ups, and if we want to go to a casino at 2 in the morning or go out for a beer at 1 o'clock, as long as we aren't driving, I think we should be able to. In addition, I don't understand, and I'll ask you about this, Patrick, also, how decreasing hours is going to stop the spread of a communicable disease. It actually will increase the spread because it compacts the amount of time people are out by adding to the amount of time people can go out. They can spread out in terms of when they're going. That is, if 100 people go out, let's say between open hours of 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., that's 25 an hour. If it's 6 p.m. to 2:30, it's closer to 12 people an hour. Again, that's a simple math and oversimplification, but you get the idea. If anything, bars should be allowed to be open longer so the customer base can be spread out and the businesses can make up for the time that they were forced to close, something else that I disagree with. So it never should have happened. It was counterproductive. And in terms of these hospitalization and other figures of the disease spread and prevalence, it's all based upon how it's manipulated. Do you agree with that, Patrick? Am I coming down too hard on the governor, or would you like to add your thoughts to that?
No, I agree with you 100%.
So you're glad that we can now go out and have a brewski or whatever until 2:30?
Yes.
And that if you want to go to the casino at 4 in the morning, you're a big boy, and you can do that.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be. So DeWine has certainly lost a lot of friends with this decision. I was never a big fan to begin with, although I do think he was a pretty good attorney general. That's kind of a nonpartisan job, and he's an experienced attorney. I mean, he's intelligent, but as governor, I think this will be his last term in office. Let's put it that way, and we'll see what might happen at that point. So, yes, good news for the economy, good news for people who want to go out. If you don't want to go, you don't feel safe going, stay home. No one is being forced to go out. I'll make my decision. And every day I wake up and I'm happy and I'm healthy and goodness sakes, I'm still cute. That's a blessing as far as I'm concerned. And that's, I think, the way we need to think about it. Let's go to Utah, a beautiful state with lots of skiing. Of course, I think it's a good time now for skiing in Ohio, but Utah is known as having some of the best skiing in the world. A Utah man received a scary surprise. What do you think the surprise was? Well, he went to check on a relative's home and found a mountain lion wandering around inside the house. Now, Patrick, what would you do if you went to your abode? You live in a condominium. What would you do if you went into your condominium and found a mountain lion?
Probably call, well, if I had my phone on me, I'd probably call animal for
Would you freak out? Do you think Do you think the mountain lion would get along with your cats? Because they're kind of related. Or do you think the cats might be afraid of them? Maybe the mountain lion would be afraid of the cats.
Might be.
It's like how elephants are afraid of mice, right? Maybe the mountain lion would be no match for your kitty cats. Your cat's pretty tough, as I recall, so probably could handle it. So John Hughes said he was checking on a family member's home in Mill Creek, Utah, when he found a sliding glass door was shattered and potted plants were strewn about a room. So was it a burglar? No. A cat burglar, maybe. Let's laugh at that one. Laugh, because that was kind of funny. A cat, mountain lion.
Yeah.
That wasn't that good of a joke, but I kind of thought about that. Anyway, Hughes said he initially suspected raccoons had broken into the home until he spotted a mountain lion about an arm's length away from him. My goodness, I would be scared. You know what? He told the TV station, just kind of a surreal thing. Never seen one in my life. I'm really glad it wasn't mad at me. Well, that would be kind of upsetting, having a mountain lion mad at you. But I think mountain lions have feelings. I mean, they're sort of cute, as long as they aren't hungry or anything.
Right.
He said the cougar darted out of the house without attempting to confront him. I guess a cougar and a mountain lion are similar, but that's what the story is saying. He said it had no interest in me at all. It just kind of took off. It didn't even look back. The Utah Division of Wildlife Resources said the big cat may have been reacting to its own reflection when it broke in through the sliding glass door. Department of Wildlife Resources Outreach Manager Scott Root said, "We believe that it probably saw its reflection in the glass and may have lunged at the glass and broke it." He said the animal likely had no interest in humans but had ventured into the foothills of Mill Creek Canyon in search of deer. Well, there's something a mountain lion and people have in common. We both like to eat deer. But I think a mountain lion has a different approach to slaying the deer than a person. Right. We would use a bow and arrow, possibly, but the mountain lion might not be quite as, well, I guess not quite as gentle. So you never know what happens in areas with wilderness, like the beautiful state of Utah, and, you know, the diversity of this great country. That's one of the... Well, we have sound effects here, too. See, that's one of the best things of living in the United States of America. Every state has its own identity, which I think is quite cool. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where you can listen online at our website, WWGH1071.com. We do remind people that, just like Hillary and Melania, we have a private email server. But unlike Hillary, we don't delete any of the messages. We read every single one of them. And you can email me on our private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. This private email server is curated, programmed, and maintained by yours truly. So you know, it's got to work very well. We are wrapping up the show here. As my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. And whenever Patrick and I get on the air together, it is fun with a capital F. So Patrick, whom we have in the studio with us, Patrick Maruniak, a former WNCI Morning Zoo member, friend of mine who's been in radio off and on for at least the last 20 years. Any other thoughts or messages you'd like to spew forth before we bid our fair adieu on today's program?
No, just stay safe and keep social distancing.
Now, I've been social distancing since before it was cool. Because if I don't like somebody, I will keep my distance anyway.
Right.
I guess we all kind of do that.
And I guess you still have to wear your mask, so I guess wear your mask, even though I don't like them. But
do some people look better with a mask?
No.
You don't think so at all?
No.
So even people who are very unattractive, even they don't look better with a mask?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Well, I guess it just kind of depends. Of course, I would think some people seem to wear a mask around their brain sometimes. But that's how it is. It's part of life. We thank you again for listening. Again, we get together every Monday at approximately 13 minutes after 10 in the a.m., as well as Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 p.m. here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Also, every Wednesday between 12:13 p.m. and 1, Glenn Coble, one of our many esteemed air staff members, speaks with Dr. Ronald Feynman from his domicile in Boca Raton, Florida, about politics, about life, of course, about the current president and the former president, that will be Donald J. Trump, and other ramblings, rumblings, tumblings, and mumblings. Don't want to miss that show. But again, if you ever miss a program on the station, go to our website at WWGH1071.com and you can download and or listen to these programs on demand, because that's the cool thing to do. Adam Lepp, thanking you for joining me, thanking my co-host, brother in broadcasting, microphone mate, Patrick Maruniak, for joining me on the airwaves, listening to my ramblings and humor, sarcasm, and whatever else comes out of my mouth, talking about his past experiences, meeting and speaking on the phone with assorted celebrities, and working at the big FM station in the capital city of Columbus. Thank you again for listening. And again, if you ever want to communicate with me, even if it's to say, "Hi, Adam, how are you doing?" please don't hesitate to type an email message and send it to our private email server. My address, again, is adam@wwgh1071.com.
Ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam, don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of a mouse.
See you later, alligator. What you told me nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what you told me nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. Say your love for me is true. I said, wait a minute, Gator.